start to spring, I guess. And the wind will blow you away this week. You want the volume up just a little bit? Turn the volume up just a little bit. Is that better? There we go. We're getting thumbs up now. Okay. Thank you for letting me know that. We're going to be looking at theology this morning in our lesson, which is the study of the scriptures. Far simply, it declares the existence, the explanation, the belief to the truth about God, the truth about God, the existence of God, who God is to us, we'll get into later on. We're going to talk a little bit about how the world thinks about God or gods and the confusion we have in the world today. We have an education system that is completely absent of the Lord anymore. There's no prayer, no Bible in the grade schools. And now in colleges, we're seeing things taught that is completely contrary to the Bible and what it teaches. And I've talked to some students here in the past 2 or 3 years, those that go off to school from this church to secular colleges to get degrees in whatever, engineering or doctor, nurse, whatever. And they have to go through these classes. Well, this has really been going on for a while. I can remember, it's been 5 or 6 years ago, talking to Micah when he was in taking classes here. And he was fighting the same thing with a professor. And just completely deny God even exists, or deny God that is the creator. And we take those things for granted, our generation. We were just raised up in church, in the Bible, understanding that God did create the heavens and the earth. And it's settled right from the very beginning. In Genesis 1, it simply says, "In the beginning, God." And people cannot, will not, they don't want to wrap their minds around that. In the academic realm, in our world today, in higher thinking, they want to apply man's wisdom to thinking why we exist, why the world exists, why we need to save the world, and try to save the world, and on and on and on. That kind of thinking has got our country and our world in the shape that it's in today in society. We look at, they have come to realize that they grade everything that we do on environmental, socially, and governmental control. And they feel like that they have scientific proof. Man can prove anything he wants to prove if he wants to prove his point. These folks that are educated try to prove their point. Now, I've seen debates where the Creation Institute, we went to one time, and to a college, and they have no answer for the Word. They have no answer for the Bible. They can sit there and spout out all that they believe and think, and critical thinking, scientific methods, and all that goes on. in the world today in higher thinking, and they can think away God. They can justify that by what they call some kind of science or proof or not proof. They can't prove it. And where we can take the word, where I'm into geology and the coal industry, there is no doubt in my mind what happened during the flood, that this coal that we mine today was laid down during that time, during the great upheaval of the great deeps, and land masses changed and all things changed during Noah's flood. And there is proof of that today. Many proofs. One of the most apparent proofs of timing, people want to say, well, it took millions of years to lay all this strata down. It took millions of years for this coal to form. Is you can remember when Mount St. Helens erupted. That happened in our lifetime. And there was a lake there that completely went away. It got covered over with all the material. And of course, we know that was a very forested area at that time. All those trees got shoved down into the bottom of that lake. 20 years after that, they drilled that lake with a core drill. And they found coal was already forming. In 20 years, with the right heat and the right pressure, it happened. Just one of the things that in geology that you can go on and on and on, I can. And all the other things that the Bible proves is true in science. You can just loop science around in the Bible and prove a whole bunch of things. But these people want to go on and on. They just want to deny that there is a God, because once they wake up and realize that there is an almighty God that they're going to have to answer to, they don't want to face that. The people don't want to face that truth, that they're going to have to stand in front of God one day and answer for their life. You know, this thing about my good works outweighs my bad works. Well, I can tell you right now, and you know it's the truth, if you put it on the scale, if there's a scale here, sin is over here and it's got the scale tilted like that. I don't care how much good works you put on this side, or whatever you want to think about God and how you want to think about Him, it is not going to move the scale. The only thing that's going to change this scale for people's lives is the blood of Jesus Christ, and then the scale goes like that. And they can't accept that truth. They want to deny that truth. The heavens, in Psalms 19:1, it says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth His handiwork." These people that do all this astrophysics and figure out how to shoot spaceships and hit the moon or hit Mars or whatever, a lot of them have denied that, but they come to the understanding eventually. They've got this telescope out there now, way out there, and they're still trying to look for the beginning of the universe. Well, they're not going to find it. But that's man's reasoning. You see, when we start reasoning on our own without God's word, we're going to get in trouble. So to believe in God, to believe who God is, we've got to use this Bible right here. We ought to use God's word. It's breathed. It's inspired. It tells the story of who God is, the three in one. And you get away from that and you get into man's reasoning, it's just not going to get there. Now, that verse right there I read says that the nature, the heavens, speak of God's existence. Who can hang those stars there? Who can make the sun move Even in the Bible, God stopped the sun and held it for the nation of Israel there in a couple battles. Before the mountains were brought forth, or even thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. That's Psalms 92. It says God is from the beginning to the end. He's everlasting. And I accept that. By faith, I accept that. And all of us here that have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, giving us holy discernment, can accept that and understand that. That's what I believe by faith. I trust what God's Word says. Now, we can get into all kinds of discussions, humanly speaking. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll get down to some of these examples of what folks think. Lord, we thank you for your love and thank you for your grace. God, we thank you for the truth of your word. And Lord, we don't understand it all, but you've given us the Holy Spirit that helps us. The simplest things can be so complicated, but you've caused it to be understood by us by faith. We accept what you tell us. It's by faith, Lord. We believe you and trust you. And we know, having the Holy Spirit, we can understand that truth, and our soul can feel that truth. Thank you for that promise, that hope that we have in you, and the promise of heaven and a home there forever. Just that right there, people can't wrap their minds. Lord, help us to be a witness to others with the truth. Lord, we thank you for your love. Thank you for what Christ did on the cross. Help us understand some of these things. In Jesus' name, amen. The existence of God. The Bible does not seek to prove the existence of God. It simply declares it. In the beginning, God. The Bible declares it. God's Word declares it. And how do we take that in? How do we take that in? How do we wrap our minds and hearts and soul around it? It's, if you let man get in the middle of this, and theology is the presentation, explanation of what we believe is the truth about God. Theology sometimes scares people. That is kind of a fancy word it's added on that. I'm just a simple creek boy. And I can talk about God, but teaching a class on theology is, you have to study to do it. I don't completely understand it all, but I believe it. I understand what God's Word says. And you need to do that too, and I know you do. In order for theology to be correct, it must be biblical. You can't base it on anything else. Now we can get involved in science. There's processes in science that is taught in college, in high school, you know, and we did science projects with our kids back in the day. And if you did it the proper way, the way it was taught in college, you could win science fairs. It's the processes of man's mind, the scientific method, where you ask the question. And people are asked the question, do you believe in God? Well, not really. We're going to look at these different beliefs here. And then you do your background research. And that's where it starts going sideways with folks, when they start doing research and construct a hypothesis on what they believe. based on their education, based on what they've got from somebody, some ungodly, somebody that is teaching evolution, that we come from some little old bug somewhere millions of years ago. That's harder for me to accept than it is to accept that God just created me out of the dust of the earth. I can believe that. Easier than I can believe that we evolved in some mud hole somewhere. Come on. But you know what they can do? They can go through this scientific method and they can construct their hypothesis and they can test their hypothesis. Now they're writing this themselves. They can analyze their data and draw a conclusion and communicate the results. And the problem with that communication of the results, they're communicating that to my children and my grandchildren. And I am not going to allow that to happen. I am personally making sure that my grandbabies know the truth. My kids already do. But I'm going to keep on going until I'm in the grave. Not going to let up because the world's not going to let up on them. Now, yes, they may have to go through some of those classes, and yes, they may have to go through that scientific method to get a grade. I was just talking to the little Roten girl, and she's just finished up her degree in engineering, and she said, "You wouldn't believe some of the stuff that they try to teach." I mean, she's grounded. She's here. She's sharp. Her mom and dad are grounded. Been here, born here, raised up here, knows the truth, and sat in those classes and heard that stuff spewed out. And now it's not only being spewed in classes, we hear it in the news media. We hear it from our government. I mean, Lord, we need to pray for our nation. It's a mess. It's a mess. We need to pray for these politicians. Yeah, we've got a godly crowd there, but boy, there's a crowd there that voting for the wrong things. Who in their right mind could vote for abortion? I don't understand that. It's beyond comprehension if you know anything about God's word. The thing is, they don't know. They've been programmed from education, and the world has took them down a path. And we have, folks, we got to be smart now about this, how we choose who we vote for and put in our offices. We really do. Well, I could get off on that, but I'll stop right there. Let's get back on the lesson. So we look at man's system. The following is a summary of some of the theological systems that are not Bible-based. Not Bible-based. There's deism. These are a bunch of isms here. God is the creator, but not the keeper of the universe. Now, how in the world could you think that? You got to go plumb sideways to get that figured out. He created it, but he don't keep it. Praise the Lord. It's nothing I can do to keep my salvation. God keeps it. It's a gift. And he keeps us. We don't do anything to get it. We do anything to keep it. Same thing in this universe. That sun comes up every morning. I watched it this morning as it broke across the horizon down there where I live. You can see way down toward Asheville and way back to the east. And as it comes over, there's a thing called a little diamond forms. As it just peeps over the horizon, this little perk of a diamond lasts about 2 or 3 seconds. Most beautiful thing, if you can ever get up early enough and clear day and see that. God created that. There's no doubt in my mind. And it's clockwork. God don't do anything that's out of whack. That sun comes up and moves back here for summer, and then it goes right back down there for the winter. You can mark it down. It's God done that. So how can you think that he created it, but he doesn't keep it? Then you got theism, the intelligent knowledge of a personal God, but how he knows he is different from different people. It's just whatever you believe. It's this, he's God's, well, he's this for me, but he could be that for you. That's rampant today. Oh, whatever you want to believe in, let's just all be happy and go down the road. Folks, people don't want to admit they're living in sin, period. Because they know if they recognize that there is an almighty, all-powerful God that's going to judge them someday, they've got to make a decision what they're going to do with the rest of their life. They know it. They know it. Atheism excludes God, denies he even exists. I mean, I think there's very few really pure atheists out there. I don't know that I've met one. Has anybody ever met anybody that said they were an atheist? There's one. One, two. Is that it? Three. 1% in here, just about, a little less than 1%, has met somebody that said they were an atheist. Did you get to talk to them? Did you get to press them? You start pressing them against the wall with that kind of thinking, they start stuttering, especially if you use the word. Just don't believe anything. Agnosticism does not deny God exists, but denies that he can be known. Well, he's just too far above us all to get to know him. I mean, come on. The world can come up with some crazy stuff. Skepticism, doubt, disbelief about the Bible, the views of God, the Creator, his own concept of God. Skeptics. They don't want to believe anything. They're skeptics about, well, is there really a God? Maybe there is a God. I don't know. I'm not really thought that deep. See, we've got a group of people that don't want to think deep. Because if they start thinking deep, just like the Bible says, nature declares it. Nature declares, the heavens declare it. The beauty of the earth declares it. That there's a great creator that created all this beauty that we live in. They don't want to think that deep, because they know if they start thinking that deep, they may have to think about God. Pantheism. Everything is God, and God is everything. God and creation are one. Everything is, I mean, it's just on and on. I mean, people think up stuff. Polytheism. Belief that there are many gods. Boy, that's alive and well. Just travel to some of these third world countries, especially in the Southeast Asia area. You get off the airport and there's some demon sitting in the hallway, a statue of him as long as this auditorium. It looks like some big lizard with fire shooting out of its mouth. And it's some god that these people believe in. Or you go down the street and there's some big old person sitting on a chair with an elephant head. And on and on and on. Made out of gold, no less. And people laying flowers and food and this and that at the feet of these crazy things. Brother Harry and I have been there and seen it. And some of you went with us have seen it. man gets really creative when he thinks there's a bunch of gods. Well, you know, well, we look at Paul and in the New Testament and back to Athens, and there they are on in the, I forget what they call the place. I've been there when I was in the Navy. There they are, and they accept him in. He said, well, we'll just make your God another God, and we'll put up a statue to him. They believed in all these gods, all this stuff going on there in Athens. And he was trying to tell them there's only one true God. He was trying to tell them, and they wouldn't listen. They wouldn't hear him. So we've got all these, we've got all these gods lined up in this great building and these beautiful statues. How can we just do away with all that? We've got to just stick with this. It would be politically wrong not to do that in this country. Has it become politically wrong today to believe in God in this country? Folks, I'm telling you right now, there was a great country one time and a great city that sat on the Euphrates River, Babylon. And they believed in their gods. They believed in gold and stone and silver. And Daniel walked in at a party and the handwriting was on the wall. It says, your kingdom's done tonight. Belshazzar, you're done tonight. His kingdom, I mean, one of the most, well, they had the gardens there was one of the seven wonders of the world. 300 foot tall building with trees growing on it and plants. Gone. When the Medo-Persian Empire took it over that night. Handwriting's on the wall for that guy and his kingdom. Most powerful, most beautiful city known at that time. 15 miles square. And God took it out. Folks, is the handwriting on the wall for this country? Is it already on the wall? I hope it's not. I hope it's not. I pray it's not. For our sake, for our children's sake, for our grandbaby's sake. So what do we do about this? How do we stop this wreck that's going on in the world right now? With all these crazy beliefs. Then we had theism here, the belief in three gods separate, the Godhead unto three gods. They don't want to believe that there is a God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They don't want to go there because it's in the Word. They want to just think it away. Then you've got dualism. The belief in two gods or forces. They want to call it the force. And I'm sure you've heard that. One is evil, one is good. And we just have them fighting all the time. We've seen that for thousands of years in the Far East. They have this symbol that's black and white and whatever it is, and they've got names for it, and good and evil. Always a battle going on. Well, I guarantee you, the devil don't like any of this. The devil does not like us sitting right here today. The devil don't like the Bible. He don't like the truth being preached or taught. Folks, we need to take these truths into the world. We need to take them to our family. We need to talk about them every time we get a chance. That all this confusion, all this confusion. And then there's monotheism, belief in one God, but not faith in God of the Bible. Well, I believe that there is a God, but I don't have any faith in that God. I can't have the faith that you have, but I believe there is a God. So you see, there's gray areas that's been thought out by mankind. We can think anything. Our minds can think anything. We can think, well, yeah, I think there's probably a God who created this, but I really don't have any faith in that. It's just easy believism, the easy path. I'm not sure that we don't have a bunch of Christians, professing Christians today, that may be believing that way. Preacher Lashley used to call them birdbath Christians. They're about that deep. I don't want to be a birdbath Christian. I want to dig in to the Word. I want to understand the Word. I want to be able to talk about the Word. Folks, I'm doing business out in the world right now with engineers and money people and this and that and the coal industry and on and on, and bankers and lawyers, and crossing paths with a lot of people. And praise the Lord, I try to do business with Christian people. But you run onto some occasionally that are not. You can't hardly sit down and have a conversation about business without going, well, look where we're at in this world. Look what's going on. Everybody is concerned. Everybody sees that there's something going on here beyond understanding, beyond belief, where the world's at today, where the news media's throwing things out are not true, where politicians are saying stuff that's completely off the wall, that makes no sense. I deal with the energy business a lot, and there's crazy thinking out there about energy. This electric, solar, wind, then none of it is not ready. It's not, the technology's not here yet. And they're pushing it like, do it, do it, do it. And you think these prices on gasoline are just happened? They can get that up, they can justify their electric, or justify what this ever, or that ever. Folks, it's this world is, and people are talking about it. How many people have you met that talks about it? I think we all confront that today. You can get on the telephone with somebody, and the conversation goes there. I don't have to take it there, it just goes there. Maybe they know who I am and what I'm about, and they start talking about it. People are looking for answers. People are looking for answers. And there's only one. It's God. The very first verse in the Bible says it. You can say all them things that people think. We go right back to Genesis 1. In the beginning, God. Now, folks, you start adding on to that and taking away from that and taking away from the Trinity, you're going to be in trouble. You're going to be in trouble. You cannot add, you cannot take away from the truth of the Trinity. That's what this world needs, is the truth, and we have it. I don't want to keep it in my pocket. I don't want to keep it in that Bible in my console. If I see somebody that needs to know, I want to go get it and get it out and help them to realize that they're being lied to by the devil, and their life is spinning out of control, no matter what they believe in. And I tell you what, one of the most dangerous things that I think the devil's got people duped into believing that they're good enough. Good people are going to be standing at the great white throne judgment. And God's going to look at them and say, depart from me, I never knew you. Because they swallowed the lie. In Psalms chapter 19, verses 1 through 4, it says, and the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. day unto day uttereth speech, the night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech, no language, there is no voice to be heard. The line is gone out through all the earth. Their words to the end of the world. To them hath he set the tabernacle of the sun. That speaks of nature and how it speaks to mankind. And then Romans 1:18 says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness, unrighteousness of men." That's what people don't want to hear. That's why they don't want to believe in the Word. Because the Word convicts them. And they want to deny that there is even a God. There's many gods. Or there's no gods. Or whether I don't know, there may be a God, but I just don't have no faith in Him. Who holds the truth in unrighteousness? God holds the truth in unrighteousness. That's what they don't want to believe. They don't want to hear it. They do not want to hear it that God is not real. They don't want to hear that because the Bible convicts them of who they are. Now, folks, if we don't start standing up and telling everybody we know, we need to wake up here. All men have an intuitive knowledge of God because of three things. Because of His creation, which we just read some of those verses, speaks of it, and the Bible talks about it in Psalms. Because of the conscience, in Romans 1:18 and 19, moral judgment, and right and wrong values. How many people you talk to say something about that? Where is the morals gone in this world? What? They don't know right from wrong. Folks, I'm telling you now, there's a couple generations out here that is spinning out of control, and they're going to be our next governors and presidents and senators and control our government. That's what we're starting to see the beginning of that. We need to preach it, teach it, talk about it, day, night, when you get up in the morning, when you go to bed at night. Doesn't that sound familiar? That's Old Testament. That's Joshua and Moses stuff. Folks, time. I was reading a devotion this morning. It was wrote back in 1941. Talking about the trouble that the world was having then. That was post-war U.S. being involved in World War. But that there was troubles in the world then. Has there never not been troubles in this world? Has there never not been death for us, for Christians? Persecutions? We've got to hold God up and got to hold Him up high. We've got to teach it and preach it and to proclaim what Jesus Christ did on the cross. The intellectual knowledge of God is a big issue because there is thinkers out there. There's smart people in positions. There's smart people in positions in government jobs that I deal with that are very intelligent people. And you can reason with them, but you've got to reason with them. If I have to take the scientific method that they know and plug in God's Word into that, then you can get them to see the light. There's ways. God will give you a way to talk to people. I can take the scientific method, take any verse, anything about God or Christ, and start plugging it in there and doing that method and say, well, here it is. And then they'll stop and think. Lottam's never set a foot in a church house. How many people you know that's never been to a church house? How many people you know that's never heard what you have grounded into your soul? There's so many people out there that don't know anything about God or the Bible or anything. But there's people out there that know just a little bit. Just a little bit. And it's dangerous. A little bit's as bad as none. There's all kinds of views. There are arguments. We can make arguments with nature and everything owes its existence to God, the effects and the cause of it all. We can talk about the design and order of everything and how everything works together. There is a logic designed to the universe, to gravity, to these theories that God has allowed us to use to be able to launch satellites into the atmosphere, and we use our phones every day. A lot of that falls, you know, a lot of that stuff goes back to Albert Einstein, his theory of relativity and gravity and all that. And who was he? He had a mind of a Jew. God gave the Jewish people special gifts. They had intelligence. And all that stuff goes back to what's going on today. We can see the order in all this and the logic in it, and we just tip a little bit of the apply mathematics to some of this stuff and say, well, that does work. Well, the Bible said that was right. Now I've applied this equation to it. Well, it's the truth. I'm telling you, there's ways to open doors with some of these people. There's arguments from necessary ideas and logic and reason to lead us to conclude that God must be real. We got to lead this crowd to that. We've got to be able to be, and I'm telling you, folks, if you run into somebody like that, call me. I may be able to answer a question. Pastor Lashley, he's a wealth of information. You can just call him anytime. Our preacher's right here. You can call him anytime. We got depth here. When you run into one of these things, you know, you've got all kinds of books. You've got the Creation Institute. I mean, there's just all kinds of data out there that we can use in conjunction with our scriptures to prove to some of these people that there is a God, that he did die for us. How do we have personal knowledge of God? Let's get this real quick here. We're about done. How do we have this personal knowledge, the intimate knowledge of God? God's desire to know, for us to know him, we need to know him intuitive, intellectual, and we need to have, on top of that, head knowledge. We've got to have heart knowledge. By faith, the faith that I have in my soul, that the truth of what God tells us in his book is the salvation truth for mankind. We have, through the scriptures, by the Holy Spirit, be still and know the Lord. Submission to his will. See, folks, that's hard. That's a hard one, to get somebody to submit to the will of God, to submit to being saved. And through the suffering of what Christ did on the cross, the ground is level at the foot of the cross for all mankind. No matter who you are, what color you are, where you come from, we're saved through the blood that was shed on that cross. And that needs to be preached and taught on and on and on. And all these intellectuals, I know you can't start there. You got to go around about to get there. But there's ways to get to folks using God's word and using prayer. You can't do it on your own. You got to pray. Let's be dismissed. Lord, we thank you for your love. We thank you for Christ and what you did on that cross to save our ever dying souls. God, give us wisdom. Help us use your word in a powerful way to tell others about Christ and what he did on the cross for their ever dying soul. Lord, we pray for our country. At a time in this world, it seems to be spinning out of control. Lord, help our country. Help our politicians. Help our president. Help all the people that control things in our world. Lord, if we don't see a big revival, Lord, I pray that there's some kind of big revival, that we need to all come back to God. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all.